under the age of 30 know what that song was titled and who wrote it? Oh, Steve, stop it. Wayne, do you know? Simon and Garfunkel, it was Paul Simon who wrote it. It's called I Am a Rock. And it's funny, like I said, how the Lord works, how the Lord speaks to you. I think it hit number 3 on the charts, if I remember the notes that I have on it and what came up on Google. But the reality is a very sad song. You know, we kind of build this thing with us in society that we are an entity unto ourselves. I am strong. I am a rock. I can handle all things. But the picture that Paul Simon portrayed was a very sad picture. I'm going to read the lyrics through because I felt the deeper you read into it, the sadder it gets. But it speaks of something that is pervasive in society today, and ultimately at times creeps into the church. And it's something that we have to be so careful of. A winter's day in a deep and dark December, I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock, I am an island. I've built walls, a fortress steep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. I am a rock, I am an island. Don't talk of love. Well, I've heard the words before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never love, I never would have cried. I am a rock, I am an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island. And a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. And as I meditated on that, and like I said, it's interesting how the Lord uses things to speak to you. And there may have been a day when it was just almost sacrilege to play a song like that in a service. But there's a clear message that you can draw out of what the words were saying, because when you look at the Father, what do you see? Everything that's contrary to what is written there. When I read the lyrics, I think of walls. I think of four walls, and inside these four walls is a lonely man and a lonely woman. Sheltered, protected, safe from pain, safe from heartache, safe from you name it. Safe, safe, safe. But there's never a time in Scripture where you see God places four walls around us to protect us from each other. We see, as we read in Job recently, that Satan was rather upset, and he says, pull down those walls. Well, in a relationship with Christ, he establishes walls of protection. But when it comes to people, when it comes to relationship, there are no walls. And when you study Scripture out, it becomes very clear that this portrayal here is so contrary to the way the Father walks, the way He breathes, the way He lives. This song caused me to dwell on how you and I have been built. What our DNA consists of. And the reality is we're a relational people. We're relational because the Father's relational. We must, to survive, have relationship. We have to have it. Doesn't matter if you're shy, doesn't matter if you're very quiet. Doesn't matter if you're an introvert. You will still find people that you can connect with and build relationship with. I can't help but remembering, let's see, how many years back if I look at my watch. Come September, 40 years ago, I met this lady that would have a tendency to walk across the street if she saw her friends. And would avoid people. God has done an incredible work in her life. But then again, this guy showed up and ultimately swooped her off her feet. And she's never been the same since. And that's my wife. But the thing was, the first 2 weeks that we... Actually, I don't even know if there was much said in the first week. I just asked if she wanted to go out, and she said yes, and so I just carried on the conversation for the rest of the week or two and never heard anything else. But even in where Kelly was in that day, that literally would cross the street, if she saw her friends walking down the street, would go across the street, right there, and would avoid her friends. But Kelly still needed deeply, even in the withdrawn person that she was, past tense, still needed relationship. Because it's something that God has placed in you and I, and God is saying we must cherish it and we need to thrive in it. Being created in the likeness and image of Him, the purpose of the cross reveals the significance of our relationship, of fellowship for the Father. Relationship is so significant for Him that He sent His Son so that you and I could have just that with Him. Relationship. So that we could have fellowship. One of the favorite pictures that I have when I go through Scripture is seeing Him walking in the garden in the cool of the day looking for His friends. He's looking for His best creation, Adam and Eve. And I can picture, and I've shared this many times before because I find it very special, that at the end of the day, in the cool, after Adam and Eve's worked hard, they've named all these different animals, and they've gone through all this different process of life, and they're taking care of everything. At the end of the day, when the day's almost done, He comes to hang out with them, to spend time with them, because He wants relationship with them. But we know the whole story. But then we come to the cross, and He says, I still want what I had in the garden. I still want it. I need it. And He knew that we needed it. Because the void remains there, an emptiness, until we come into relationship with Him, and we develop a relationship with Him. And I find it neat. Everybody has different ways of communicating and hearing His voice. But like I said, sitting down, at my desk, I get there, I sit down and go, boy, I got lots to do. I got to get ready for tomorrow and everything else. And I look out the door and there's a picture of this island. And instantly that song came to mind. And I'm a product of the 70s, not the 60s. I remember one song of the 70s that Simon Garfunkel did, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. I've heard people got saved through that song. And I don't think they had any idea that that was what was going to happen. But I remember that song, but I tended to be a rock and roller, so that song really didn't click with the type of music that I really listened to all the time. You know, they were trying to think of some of the bands, but it goes way too far back. Scripture abounds in so many ways concerning the subject of relationship. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs companionship. Everybody needs friends. Everybody needs to be loved and to love. It's in our DNA because we have His DNA. The work of the enemy, whether through circumstance or the atrocities of life, and we can let our minds wander on how bad it gets, will find people that can associate with that song and will become recluse and will hide and will build walls. And ultimately, the enemy accomplishes what he desires to accomplish, and that's to separate people from people and people from God. And it's unfortunate. Stuff happens in church. God knows stuff happens in church. People are people. That will never change. And there's times if we allow ourselves, the enemy will get into our lives, and he will, through situations, cause us to build walls. I'll never get close to that person again. I'll never open myself up to pain again. How many times have we heard those statements? I won't let anybody hurt me ever again, and they're in church. But God, through his infinite wisdom, brings us all together in a local body, and he calls it family. One of the unique things about family is everything is laid bare. Personalities are different. Nowadays, it's more difficult to recognize, but when you can go back, let's say 70, 80 years, and the average family is 8 or 9, including kids, you see and you recognize that there is going to be a challenge in life because you've got 8 personalities and they're all different in some form or fashion, and you're going to have the quiet ones and you're going to have the loud ones and you're going to have the sneaky ones and you're going to have the one that gets everybody in trouble, and you're going to have dad who doesn't really care and mom who lays down her life for everybody, and it is sometimes absolute chaos, but it's family. And because of the love that's within the family, it works. And they thrive. And they flourish. I can't imagine being in a large family. I've got one brother and one sister, and my sister was adopted. And my brother was a surprise. And my brother's my best friend. Circumstance of life, and this is what the enemy can do if he allows it. I've hardly ever seen my brother or my sister, but I have such an incredible relationship with them that every time we're together, especially my brother and I, we both become 14 years old and we both get in lots of trouble. But that's relationship. So let's look for a few minutes on what Scripture has to say and how it all started. We're going to start off in Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read a few passages of Scripture here. I'm getting really good at giving Scriptures to our team back there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Notice right away what it has to say here. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." It is not good to be alone. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. Next. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was to be found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man, and the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." From the time that man was created, he saw that there was a need for relationship. There was a need for fellowship. It says, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for any one of us to be alone. It saddens me when I stretch this a little bit farther, how many friends that I have that are sitting at home Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, that stay at home. The sad part of it is, one of the most important parts of our growth is what happens here. It's not in the praise and worship that we sing. It is not in the teaching that comes from up here from any one of us. It's what happens in our relationship and the lives that we live one with another. That's where our most significant growth comes into play. It's how we interact, how we fellowship, how we communicate. And you know what's really cool is we, you know, this is now past tense, but for so many of us, we made some conscious decisions to fight through the challenges that were here because God said, and we come out the other side and going, God is so good. I'm convinced that unless the Lord says to your time and season has ended in a church, it doesn't end. And it doesn't matter what the problems are. It doesn't matter your feelings. It doesn't matter if Wayne hurt you. It doesn't matter if Roberta smacked you on the side of the head or Kyle wouldn't take you fishing. He tried the other day. That doesn't matter. When God calls you into a fellowship, when he calls you into a church, into a family, it's all about relationship. It's all about your growth. It's all about what he wants to accomplish. And he uses relationship in such incredible ways. One of the things that I found very interesting, and I have to kind of sidetrack slightly here. I'll take a rabbit trail. Yeah, we'll shoot the rabbit quickly here. Relationship and fellowship does not come in pets. They're wonderful. I love dogs. I like cats. But there's no relationship there. All they want to do is make you happy. They don't want to get into your face and get you mad unless they do something while you're out. You know, and there's a little water puddle on the yard, on the floor, or something's chewed all up or something like that. But there, as great as a dog or a cat can be to a family, there's no relationship and there's no fellowship. It's interesting. I don't know why the Lord did it this way, but when you read through, he says, it's not good for man to be alone. So all of a sudden, all these animals, he's naming all these animals, and they're all kind of going by him, and then the Lord says, no, these aren't his helpers. But what he did is he created Eve and went, there it is. Now, we can just pinpoint on that and just go, well, Adam and Eve and marriage, and it's a wonderful thing, and God ordained it, and it's great, and there's great strength in that. But the whole principle of us not being alone is significant from that scripture. We're called to be together. We're called to work together. And what was so neat, too, when you read through it, he says, and it says in the end, Adam says this, now we are one. And I found that very significant as I pondered through that, because we tend to look at our relationships and kind of go, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, two people get married, now they're one. But scripture abounds and talks a lot about the power that is in one. I've come to realize that this principle that God has placed within us, which is the spirit of unity, has power. In fact, I believe that it's a spiritual force. Turn to Leviticus 26:8. Did I give you that one? Yes, I did. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. There's a number of other scriptures that we can look at. All it takes is 2 to be in agreement. If two of you will agree, but that two speaks of unity, which speaks of relationship. Because there is no unity without relationship. It doesn't happen. One of the things that's been happening for Pastor and I over the last 4 to 6 months is we can spend hours just sitting in his office talking. Because what's in his heart is the establishing of relationship. That goes far beyond just meeting on a Sunday morning, and I'm sitting there and he's sitting right there, and we smile and we shake hands and we talk about church. But we'll sit in his office and we'll talk about any number of different things. We talk about fishing. He gives me tips on fishing. And he wants to get back out in the boat. He wants to go fishing. I'm going to get him in my boat and we're going to go fishing and get some pickerel. But you know what that is? That's relationship. Relationship, which I call a spiritual power, which I call unity, is something that is so dynamic and so powerful that I see the enemy being in fear of it. Why else does he go after marriage? Why else does he work like crazy to destroy relationships? When the two stand together as one, they're invincible. In Christ, they're invincible. Nothing can stand in the way of a man and woman that are one in the spirit of unity, in relationship, in fellowship. Nothing can stand against them. Now, I'm not saying that there's not any storms that they're going to go through, but when the two are one, no storm, no circumstance, no situation, no work of the enemy can bring them down. One of the things that I've always encouraged when I've counseled young couples getting married was, you have an argument, that's fine. Stay on the same side of the table. It's like in a boxing match. Don't go to the opposite ring. Don't go to the opposite end of the ring. You stay on the same side all the time. You're still one. Arguments, if anybody here says that you have no arguments, you're lying. Because in God's infinite wisdom, he brings two personalities together that are different. And when they're different, they see things differently, they think differently, they act differently, they talk differently, they have different things that they like, they have things that they don't like. One will have a way that they feel that their children should be raised a certain way, and the other one goes, well, my parents told me we should do it this way. And so, guess what? We don't see eye to eye. But you get on the same side of the table, and you work it out. And when you're on the same side of the table, the enemy has no grounds. But when you go to opposite ends, he can stand at the middle and he can get the finger pointing back and forth and the relationship is broken. Some of the best times that I have with pastors, not necessarily in prayer, but it's in communication and fellowship. Just sitting for an hour or two and just talking. Talking about the past, talking about who he knows, talking about who I know, the things that are going on in our lives, the fun stuff, the bad stuff, the good stuff, the not so good stuff. But there's more scripture to go through. Proverbs 17:17. Now this is a good one. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, I used to think of this as a brother was born to be a pain in the butt. But can you switch that to the message? This just opened my eyes. We'll get there. Tick, 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 tick. Do you feel pressure back there? I know we got to find the message. Friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. This changes the whole perspective of what a brother is. I'm serious. I used to think a brother was just there to rub you wrong. Iron sharpens iron was that scripture that I kind of thought of when it thought about my brother. Families stick together in all kinds of trouble. And it's interesting, now the idea of friends are so significant as well, but when I think of family, the church is called two things: the body of Christ and the family of God. Families stick together in all kinds of trouble. That's why he brings us together. Family don't separate. And friends, I remember when I was in Courtney and we were elders there, one of the things that we used to hear all the time is, knowing the call in our lives, is be prepared not to have any friends. Pastors don't have friends. And it never really connected with me, because ultimately I need friends. I'm a really relational people kind of person. I like to fellowship. I like to have friends. I like to hang around the guys. And, you know, when we get workbees, we just thrive. We have fun together. And that's all about relationship. And I'm that kind of person. There's others that can be, you know what, you know, I can just sit at home and read and everything's all really good. I don't need a big crowd around me. But he calls us a family. A family sticks together in all kinds of trouble. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. NIV again. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And this is what I was talking about earlier, the significance of why the Lord brings us into a church, into a family. This is how we grow. I've also seen it referenced where each one of us is like a lump of coal and the pressures of life produces the diamond. Because that's what diamonds come from. It comes from coal. And the heavy pressures, the pressure that is applied to coal over the process of time, hardens it, and for some way, I have no idea how, turns this black lump into something that is translucent and perfect when it is cut. How? I'm not a geologist, but I know you get this black thing that burns really well and a long time and is hot, becomes coal. Iron sharpens iron. There will always be times when we hang out together that we will rub each other wrong. I rub Kelly wrong, she rubs me wrong. Sean rubs me wrong, and Sean rubs me wrong. I mean, and I rub him wrong, too. But God called us together. Sean's my friend. Wayne's my friend. Kyle, I have friends that there are those, and James, there are those that I'm really, you know, some that are close with and some not quite as close, all friends, all brothers and sisters, but there are those that you just connect with. But it doesn't mean that every day is going to be a good day. Sean got mad at me a couple years ago on Central Avenue. Still a friend. Never changed. Something about us running our equipment in front of your clothing store. He was mad. But you know what? Didn't break our relationship. Because we have relationship. And it was more important to get past this little difference and maintain the strength of the relationship as brothers than to go, I've had enough of this guy, I'm out of here. And unfortunately, it happens. Talk to the hand, don't talk to my face. Never intended by God, never intended by God. Now turn to Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. And this is one of those wow confirmation scriptures. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Verse 10. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. We cannot survive alone. Can't do it. We can't do it. We cannot be a rock. We cannot be an island unto ourselves. We cannot close ourselves into a inside of four walls to protect our emotions and our feelings, to protect us from being hurt, we will never survive. God exposes us so that we can survive. Scripture speaks so much about the church. Psalm 68 and verse 6 tells us that he sets the lonely in families. And it really does sadden my heart. I've got a very close friend out on the West Coast, and church hurt him. And he has not been to church since. And it's been 18 years. Loves Jesus, but he doesn't like a lot of people. And he get angry easily. And the thing is, you know what's so cool about being in church? We experience God through each other. We experience him. Because he works through each one of us. And when I experience the love of a brother or the love of a sister, I'm experiencing the Father. He's chosen to work through each one of us. And that's what really boggles my mind at times. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. And I was thinking about this, and Kelly and I were down. Kelly was into the dentist office, and I kind of had time. We had 5 hours between a dental appointment and an ear appointment. It was just like, wow. But I was sitting in the dental office, and here was this People magazine, and who was on the front page, and the biggest article was Muhammad Ali. And reading this, and each member belongs to each other, many members, one body, made me think of him, and made me think of the consequences of no relationship. I know nothing about how Parkinson's disease works. But the only thing that I can connect is the brain is not working with the body. Uncontrollable shaking, speech, number of different things begin to get disjointed, the walking abilities. So something is going on in the brain, and I'm sure it is, has got something to do with this, but the brain is not getting the signal to the hands to function in a certain way, thereby the relationship is broken on how to work properly. Now, Muhammad Ali potentially paid the price for getting in the head, hitting the head a couple hundred times, but still there is a disjoint between one part of the body and the other. You and I are God's perfect creation. It's incredible to see when the body works perfectly. Now, we can look at athletes, but we don't have to look at athletes. We don't have to look at Usain Bolt, who can run faster than a speeding bullet, jump tall buildings, and run through a locomotive and everything else. We have to look at what we do every day, and how we function, and how our brain connects with our mouth, connects with our eyes, connects with our ears, our hands, our toes, our knees, everything, and how well we function. Even for me to walk back and forth here is so incredible and so perfect. And the way that we can express, and the emotions that we can have, and the feelings that we have, and the love that we can convey, and the relationship that we can build one with another is perfection. But when it becomes disjointed, the body pays a price. It's interesting in the context of this passage of scripture here, what we're seeing is God's grace on our lives, and each one individually has a grace of God upon them with different giftings. And that's what's so significant about a church coming together, about a body coming together, people coming together. We have 40 here, 40 different graces, 40 different gifts. And when we work together, we are one body. When we get together on Sunday morning, 120, 130, when all are here, and the kids are in here as well, all different graces. But the unity is working, and we are effective for Him. That's relationship. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 to 27. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And this makes me think, one person in our fellowship decides, I just don't fit in. That person has hurt me too much. The pastor has really offended me. I'm going to stay here, but I'm not going to have anything to do with anything any longer. And you begin to close in. We as a whole are affected. Because relationship is broken. This passage of Scripture really conveys clearly what we're talking about here in the perfection of the way God calls you and I to come together. In relationship, each with our gifts, each with the mandate that has been placed upon us to work together so that we become one and we become effective. A body that functions together, allowing each person to flourish in their giftings, is a church that is a force to reckon with, that walks in unity and walks in relationship. We may have 3-year-old kids, 4-year-old kids coming up. You come up to the front and you need prayer, and we call upon the 3- and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds to lay hands on you. They are just as effective as any elder, as any pastor, as any deacon, as any spiritual leader, as any prayer warrior. I'll tell you what, because God works through them just as much as you and I. And when we all work together, then there's unity. There is dynamite. There is a force that to be reckoned with. The most effective churches are the churches that recognize that at all cost we protect our relationships. That's an effective church. That's a church that has an impact in the community, because we all live out there, and there's enough comment about why are there so many churches. We hear that. God in His wisdom knows what best suits us. In the same way that there are those that are in Pastor Greg's church that go, this just fits who I am really well, and they grow there. But within the framework of our body, we have relationship, we have love, and we heard from Megan the other day, number one is love. If we have relationship, we have love, we have fellowship, and we have unity, God is in the midst and people see it. We have to protect that which God has given us. We have to protect that which is sitting on the inside of us, that DNA that thrives to flourish. Relationships are at the core of who we are as humans. And it is the heart of the Christian faith, our relationship with the Father. We must do everything we can to protect it, recognize the ways of the enemy, be quick to forgive, give no room to him. And we must not become islands, individually and corporately. If we as a church become an island, we're useless. We are completely useless if we become an island as a church. There's no difference between one person or 100 people. If we shelter ourselves from anybody, from city officials, from what the church down the road says, or from what anybody says, and if we just protect ourselves, then we become ineffective. We can't become islands. We can't become the rock. One of the things that I've learned to appreciate so much, I've been in church now 36 years, is family, is friends, is relationship. And when I moved here 7 years ago, and I am finished, I was all ready to walk away from church, but it scared me. Because that's where family is. Yes, we all have our natural families. Sometimes they aren't working really good, but the most part, we all have great families. But when we have family here, it's something to cherish and to keep a hold of. And I was afraid of losing that when I lived in Courtney. And I felt like it wasn't simply just going to another church in town and kind of sitting in the back pew. And I praise God that he drew me here because it was this family, that restored my heart. Pastor was influential, but it was this family, the people, that restored Kelly and I. It was sitting with Wayne and bringing him coffee when his ankles weren't working very good, and in fact, he wasn't moving anywhere, and just hanging out. Yeah, he wasn't going anywhere. So I'd bring a Timmy's over, and we'd hang out because Kelly wasn't here, and I didn't want to spend any more time than I had to with Jordan anyways, so I'd come over and hang out with Wayne. But that part there was the start of my restoration because church beat me up at one time. But I didn't want to lose it. And I praise God for what he's done in our lives. I am done. Holy jumping.